You're not going to get a piece of weird cartilage or something in there.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, the weird gristle you get from chicken nuggets. No, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. No, this is just the one where I'm like, why does that just look like a lump of Play-Doh on a Q-tip or like a popsicle stick or something? Like it looks, it's kind of like Gwildor. Where he's like, how do they get the, you know, how do they get it on the tiny little, you know, the tiny little sticks? And Man-at-Arms like, those are bones. He's like, wow, this tasted good. And I look at those and I just figure that's like what they eat in Eternia.
I love that Gwildor's very smart but has no concept of what a bone is. Yeah. Like he's never seen a bone. Is that, wow, what a charmed life you live, Gwildor.
Oh, hey, you know what? In certain instances, it's good he's never seen a bone.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. If good work if you can get it. But it is funny where he's just like, oh, how do they get the meat on the sticks? And Man-at-Arms is like, those are bones, Gwildor. And he's just like, oh, cool. You know, you have bones in your body. Wait, what?
Me? I'm not filled with Jell-O and cosmic key juice?
Oh, no. All I can think about is my bones. I'm freaking out. Now that's, if I had one plus up for the original Masters of the Universe movie, that would be it. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. That's it. That is it right there. You hit
send Gwildor into an existential freak out.
bones in my body.
I can't concentrate. I'm an animated skeleton wrapped in meat. Kill me.
Let's go. You know we gotta keep it hype all day and night like this. To all my people, if you're into He-Man, the Skeletor, the unofficial Revelations companion. It's more than a cartoon, I'm here to let you know. Masters of the Universe, Revelations, for show. We breaking down the episodes, this is what you needin'. Before He-Man grab somebody and start eating. From Evil Lynn, Clamp Champ, Teela, and the Man of Arms. They have the power, so come and join the squad. Yeah, dear Skeletor, the unofficial Revelations companion. Let's go!
Welcome to Dear Skeletor, the unofficial companion podcast to Masters of the Universe Revolution. Join us as we recap each episode, celebrate the things we loved, and discuss the other aspects we may not have liked as much. I'm Forrest, and I'm joined as always, like two halves of the power sword, by my co-host, John. John, do you feel like you have the power?
You know what? I do.
Yeah, after watching that final episode, do you feel like you have the power?
Yeah, I feel like I got the power of rainbow glowingness. Yeah,
that's right,
baby.
RGB, you're not a true gamer unless you've got that RGB, and now He-Man has it in all the right places, I'll say.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, I got the power. I've got the power now. Well, we've got the power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right. Sure.
We've got the power now.
Well, now you got me kind of questioning it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm
going to stick with it. I have it.
Okay. Listen, I was just quoting Katy Perry's song, Electric.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
Okay. Well, check it out. It's worth it, I'll say.
Okay. Well, is there a part where she pulls out a power sword and screams, I have the power?
Man, that would be cool. That would be cool. You know, if this series, this most recent season of Masters of the Universe has taught us anything, is that everyone in Eternia wants to say, I have the power. Everyone wants to say it. And they want to hold that sword aloft. They want to do the whole transformation.
Yeah, you got to. You just can't hold a stick and say it. It's meaningless, especially when you know there's literally a object that will grant you the powers of Grayskull.
Is there any danger? Is there ever shown any danger of like just doing it for fun? Like, could He-Man bring his sword to a party, and that as like a party, yeah, each person could take turns saying, you know, calling down the power and seeing kind of like what sort of buff hero they turn into?
Oh, there's definitely a danger. How many parties have you gone to where you like, you know, that one person in the corner where you're just like,
We don't want to give them. Yeah, right.
That's... We wouldn't want them participating in our I Have the Power games.
I see. Yeah, there's that guy over, his name's Jason, and he's got a very sort of gaunt look to him, but he's got a very full mustache that is distracting me for the rest of his face, and he's like, "Yeah, give it to me. Why don't you let me do the power thing? It's me, Skeleton Jason Tor."
Exactly. And then you're just giving that away for free? No. I think if anything, between this series, the previous one, and, you know, the original Filmation stuff, Prince Adam can be the keeper of the power sword. I'm okay with it. I think
it's
pretty good head on his shoulders. It's, you know, messed up with that whole giving Skeletor the kingdom type of thing, but, you know, whatever. We won't.
Yeah, well, he thought it was his uncle that he met an hour ago, and he's like, you know what you would be great at, based on all the interaction we've had? Being king. Here you go. Here's the crown. I got stuff to do. Bye. I'm not even going to stick around for a day and make sure that I made the right choice. No.
Don't worry. I want to get out of here so bad. I'm going to keep my funeral garb on, and I'm not changing out of it for nothing.
They didn't even do like a 23andMe. They didn't even like wait for like, they didn't even call Maury and have him do like a paternity test to make sure that he is indeed the Keldor that he says. He's just like, "Hi, I'm Keldor. I should be king." And Adam's like, "Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Good enough for me.
I saw you do this one heroic thing one time."
Right, yeah. He uploaded a virus to those old techno jobbies and got them good, and that makes you king. That's just the rules. I don't make the rules. The rules are what they are.
I guess I'm going to at some point have to go to like Buckingham Palace and install some software in a computer or something so I can become king.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would want to, but sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like, what other monarchies can you think of that exist in the modern day? I guess that is the response to that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also, frankly, I don't really think they do much of anything, and that sounds pretty nice. So
it does seem kind of like a cherry gig. And yeah, you just get to sort of be in a very fancy house and make proclamations.
Yeah, very fancy house that other people pay for. I don't gotta worry about it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, it's pretty cushy. I'm just saying. Like, and if all it takes is me, like, installing Chrome or Firefox on a computer to give me the power, then I'm for it.
You have a problem here is you need to install Mozilla. All right, give me that crown. Give the crown to Jason. It's me.
Skeletor, I mean... you know it's me.
Damn it. Come on. Just give it over, please. I've been a good boy.
I'll be good with it this time, I promise.
That's right. 15 millionth times the charm.
You know what they say. Fool me 15 million times. Shame on me, finally. It's shame on me. But I'll be good this time. 15 million and one. Come on.
Listen, please. I've turned over a new leaf, and of course, under it was an evil scheme. But then I went to the leaf next to it, and I turned that over too. Evil scheme again. But the third one, also an evil scheme. But look, one of these is going to be a real turning over a new leaf.
And I will eventually find said leaf. But in the interim, just let me hold the sword.
That's right.
just once. Just come on. Well, okay.
Well, you convinced me, Jason. What? Are you serious? I just said I was Skeletor.
I stopped paying attention.
Yeah, no, I don't blame Adam or Randor. No, Randor's dead. He can he's not thinking right. R.I.P. and spoiler alert. If this is somehow the first episode of the series you're tuning into, hate to break it to you, but Randor's dead.
Yeah, maybe go back four. Go back four episodes. Stop now. Go back four. Listen to those. Then come back. This is the first one you're diving into, come back.
Is the real crime of Randor dying in the series just the absence of Diedrich Bader?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Easily need to give them some supplementary roles within the show if they bring it back for another season.
Yeah, they should have. They should have created Robo Randor.
Yep.
And had like Robo Randor, like following everyone around.
Oh, that would have been badass.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been great. I would have loved Robo Randor, but alas, not in this one. So sad. So sad to not get more Dietrich Bader, but there's plenty of, you know, there's a whole season, and then there's, of course, the Batman, the Brave and the Bold.
And the Drew Carey Show, you know.
And of course.
If you need
of course.
If you really need your live-action Dietrich Bader fix.
Oh, yeah. Office Space. So much good Dietrich Bader out there that you could enjoy. But not this one. No.
Nope.
But what do you say, John? You want to get right into it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Jason's ready. Yeah, let's talk about it. Today's episode is the finale of the way they refer to this season has been so confusing, and I think you've seen a struggle with it this entire series, but it's technically the first season of Masters of the Universe Revolution, because it's like a different series, kind of. I've just been referring to it as season three. But either way, it's the fifth episode of Masters of the Universe Revolution, and it is titled The Scepter and the Sword, and it is directed again by Adam Conroy and Patrick Stannard, and written by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, we've heard of this person.
Indeed. The core team is added again for this, the final outing of this, the third season, or the first season of Revolution, however you want to think about it. And we open, as we often do with those raspberry rocks. We love to see them. They are like spinning, floating, hard candies of comfort, as far as I'm concerned. And actually, before we get into it, I have to say I am sick, and you can probably hear that in my voice. So I apologize if that is off-putting to you. I'm more nasally than usual, so you have my sorries. But we had to skip last week because I was feeling too bad. But we're back in the saddle again this week, and you know what? We couldn't go with another week without wrapping this series up. So here we are. And it'll get better, I promise, but you'll have to just suffer through it for the entirety of this episode.
I mean, I will deal with it, try not to let it happen again. Okay.
All right. I'm going to take COVID over here and, give them a real stern talking to.
Good. You stop it, COVID. You stop it.
Thank you. Thank you for having my back on this, but, We see the final, or not final, I guess, but the final title sequence style change that will happen at the start of an episode, and this one being evocative of Skeletor's transformation, I think, is what this is based on. It's sort of half magic, half technology. It is the fusion of magic and technology in the Revolution title treatment. And, of course, Grayskull is still looking goofy, you know, it's, maybe it's kind of growing on me? I don't know.
When we saw it again, I was like, it's the mice. It's just the mice. Just a little too goofy for me.
Yeah, and especially since we know that those are cool apartments up there, like... Mm-hmm. That you can imagine, like, the window treatment is now, like, it's not letting it as much natural light. So even just from a purely design standpoint, I don't know if I can get on board with it.
Yeah, I feel like if you were in that version of Castle Grayskull, you'd be like on the inside of the Luxor at Vegas or something, where they have a giant ad on the front that just totally covers your view for the most part. You're just like, what's going on? Who put these eyeballs here? This is... I mean, I know Windows Souls and all, but come on, man. Like, just hang them free. Skulls are scarier when they don't have eyes to them. When they have eyes to them, they just look kind of goofy.
What do you mean? I'm spooky. But we jump right back into a flashback in the gardens of Eternos Palace, where we get to witness Adam and Teela's fight cute. I'm just going to call it a fight cute. Teela is trying to prepare Adam to be a to be a king one day, and he must know how to fight, but she is not screwing around, even though he's kind of, it just turns out he's sort of just waiting for his opportunity to pull a very smooth move. I don't think I could ever be this smooth, turning a very deft trip of Teela into what turns out to be a very romantic dip in reality.
Yeah, no, I don't have that level of suaveness. In fact, I had to shave off my beard and goatee because I accidentally trimmed too much of my beard and mustache. Oh, so no. And that was just one handle slip. I couldn't picture tripping somebody and be like, huh? Soap opera lens and everything else kind of come in now. No, I'm about as graceful as a broken banana.
A broken banana, you say? Yeah. Well, certainly as graceful in your physical acrobatic feats as you are with your metaphor.
Wait a minute.
Let's move on. But things get real gauzy and romantic real fast with rainbow halos and a little bit of that Vaseline screen effect that you might be familiar from a soap opera. But in classic Orko style, Orko is here to ruin the moment and really, really make sure things don't progress any further. But that's okay because we realize this is just a vision that Teela is having while she is going through this transformation and becoming this powerful sorceress, fighting between each of these different pillars of magic that she is that she has conjured up here.
Definitely going through some stuff right now. I totally forgot since we had that week break that she was going through the different iterations of the sorceress between the Ka and the Havoc, and then Ra as well. I totally forgot that was going on until we watched. I was like, oh, yeah, that looks painful.
Yeah. Yeah. We left on a bit of a cliffhanger, but we're right back in it. Normal Lynn reminds everyone that she needs more power is the problem. That's the thing that's lacking here. It's the transformation isn't completing because there isn't enough power, despite the fact that there is a veritable tornado of magic in front of them. We have a Man of War and Man at Arms holding Prince Adam back. He wants to get in there to help Teela, but the minute they say, hey, we need more power, guess who appears? That's right, Gwildor and Orko. And Gwildor is like, hey, I saw that Orko did the joke about calling down the power, and I'd like to do it as well.
Yes, I'd like to do a callback. It's a callback, you see.
That's a callback to a thing I wasn't there to witness. But anyway, I think my intention was to actually call down the power.
I want to see what it's like. There was this one time I was at a party with a dude named Jason, and he got the power to turn out to be Skeletor. And I was like, they should have given it to me, Gwildor. And then I could have called it down, and I would have been Hedor or Gwildman. The most powerful Gwildor in the universe. But no, instead, I'll give you the sword, I guess. And by giving you the sword, Orko's going to take it from me and just throw it to He-Man.
Yeah, that it really kind of puts Gwildor's motivations in question, since Orko just has to wrench it from his grasp. But
it was very much a no time for jokes, man. This is serious.
Yep. Can't you see, read the room? Sorry, I haven't had my ribs. My dose of ribs. That's really, I've got the hungers down ungers. But
I need my sauce.
That's right. Adam isn't going to call down the power right away. Heavens no. He instead is going to kind of like Mario Bros his way up these different floating pieces of rocks and debris so he can get to Teela first. I think the idea here is that he needs to call down the power holding Teela much of the way that he does when he's on Battle Cat to share some of the power with her, because she needs that extra boost of power to complete the transformation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really ever know how any of this works. I guess that tracks. Even though I always find it weird because, you know, it's like, you know, I have the power of Grayskull and she's in Grayskull. I thought she might have been the power, but maybe Grayskull itself is power. I've never bothered to figure this out, but man's got to do what he's got to do and hop up some rocks he does.
Yeah.
This is the most active I've ever seen this Adam, I feel.
Truly, Adam is showing that he's not just a slouch when he's in his Adam form. No, he can jump from suspended rocks in a magical tornado, no problem. And then make quite a leap from that last one to catch Teela in midair, and they sort of plummet through the eye of this magical tornado. With like, I guess she has the presence of mind to just cast a little bit of a magic buffer right before they hit to make sure that they safely land. And they kind of, they find themselves in the similar, pose to when we saw that flashback, of that gauzy romantic moment. And we get, speaking of romantic, we get a very romantic calling down of the power, a real kind of whisper, ASMR version of the transformation.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable.
There is an aspect of this that I feel like I shouldn't be watching.
Exactly.
You're like, is this too personal? This is very sexy. Things is happening right here.
You know, I'm gonna turn around. Yeah, let me just turn around real quick. Okay.
I don't feel like they would want me watching this, so I'm just going to go ahead and respect their wishes.
Yeah, I mean, tap me on the shoulder, I guess, when you're ready, but, you know, I'm just going to look over here right now.
But this is the... We've mentioned the magical girl transformation several times, which is a reference to the events of Sailor Moon, at least in my mind when I'm referencing it. But this is the real scene. They had hinted at it before, but this is the true transformation sequence that we're getting here. And the budget is just off the charts with this. And it looks great, I have to say.
Yeah, it's the reason why there's only 5 episodes, I feel. They put all their focus into this. Yeah, this looked great. This blew Sailor Moon out the water.
And they get two massive costume upgrades. I'm very curious to hear what you think about these. I thought, sure. I thought Teela's Tri-Sorceress design was pretty incredible. I really am excited to see the toy for this one. I thought He-Man's design is pretty good too.
Teela's to me is the most successful. I think He-Man, as you pointed out, was kind of like a callback to the Masters Universe movie outfit a little bit. I like the asymmetry. I think the colors always look good on them, whether it's gray or gold. The thing that's really bugging me is just that like new style He-Man logo from the other cartoon that's on Netflix. It's like,
oh, interesting. So was that from the kind of futuristic Masters of the Universe cartoon?
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of when I think of the toys. Had a very similar like chest plate logo system with that one, and I'm just not feeling it.
Interesting. Logo design felt maybe a little unnecessary, but I think overall, like you said, the color scheme works really well. I like the nod to the movie look, and you're right. The man that is like almost exactly.
You took a look? Yeah, it's about to send it to you, just so you can see. It's like the same logo, and I don't understand it. I do get it from one perspective. You know, they have shifted away He-Man pretty close from the, you know, like the Iron Cross style logo that he used to rock with something that's a little bit more less Iron Crossy. Just call it what it is. But this is, it's just not, yeah. But I mean, I like the long hair. I like everything else. I think everything else looks good. The logo to me just doesn't feel right. I almost just kind of wished it was like the Battle Armor H or something. Like,
yeah, I could definitely see that. It is an interesting connection, though. I wonder if there is any depth to be any. I wonder if that connection is any deeper than just surface value. I think part of me thinks that it is definitely. I mean, it has to be a callback because it's exactly the same logo. But also, or a call over. I don't know if that's necessarily a call back, but I will say that it does work well with the fact that we see also the true extent of Gwildor's modifications to the Sword of Power. Yeah. And it splits the blade in two, and that is also the case in that Netflix the more kid cartoon Netflix He-Man show that also has sort of like a transformation aspect. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that that's a cool detail. I think for me, what works so well about the original He-Man logo and the reason why I kind of missed it, and I'd be interested to see if this is also something that resonates with you, is that it reads so well from like far away. It is like that big chunky H is just like a very iconic and graphical, a nice graphical element and a great way to break up the armor. This one is like more fiddly. It has like more small sprues and shapes in it that give it, it's a little more busy in a way. And I think that that is what I don't like as much.
Yeah. It's a harder read. It just would, I think when you look at it, like you'd want to infer that it's an H because it is an H-esque. It's an H-esque shape, right? With the split down the middle between like the sword, but it, like you'd have to go looking for it versus just the H proper where you're like, holy shit, this is like, you know, it's clear. You read it from a mile away. It's very invocative of He-Man. And this one, I just don't think is as successful. Now, if you were to ask me if the other series didn't exist, like this new one with that, would I like this logo a little bit more? Probably not. I still think I'd probably find the same problems. It's just a little harder to read. But I'll be
interested. No shade on the kids cartoon, which I haven't watched all of, but I hear good things.
Yeah, none whatsoever. I haven't watched it either. No commentary there. I think it works for that style He-Man. For what they want to do textually and stuff. I just think, I mean, for sure, it's an interesting connection. To be fair, I was sort of hoping. Now, I'm gonna tell you. I was sort of hoping that we would have gotten the new Adventures of He-Man's power sword, like the lightsaber one.
Yeah,
just thinking of Kevin Smith, like, let's just have Gwildor turn the power sword into that when it's like in this weird powered up state, so we'd get like lightsaber He-Man. But you know, what are you gonna do? This upgrade's an okay one, I think.
Yeah, that would have been great. I would have loved, because that sword is so interesting in the context of the greater He-Man like design language that we've seen over the years. Because that sword is like so thin, and it feels like it doesn't belong. Like there's so, it's so out of or like off style compared to the rest of the versions that we see. And I guess you could say that that's true for a lot of new Adventures of He-Man.
That's the whole show is just completely off putting and not even remotely close to what you remember, but. I have a fond memory of the toys from that.
Yeah.
Like the Skeletor from that one was just wild.
Oh, yeah. I just found a great screenshot I'm going to send you.
Exactly. And see how weird he looks with them eyeballs.
Wow, that's, well, maybe that's where they got the, maybe that's where we're getting the reference to this series in the new one, is the Castle Grayskull kind of looks like New Adventures of He-Man Skeletor.
Yeah, that's he's so wild. It just, I might have to do a revisit after I've watched the original series, which I've been doing every night, by the way.
So, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah,
don't tell the people that. Now now the expectation's gonna be out there.
No, I'm
folks
watching
are
it for me.
Folks are gonna want to hear your takes.
No, okay. because I need the reminder of the staunch moral lessons, and they still hold up. So, yeah, I need that. But we don't need to go revisit this. I just want to watch it for that warm nostalgia hit that we so often claim that we're looking for, which I'm definitely looking for.
Yeah, that makes sense. The new designs aside, we finally get, you know what, all those people, all those Hela or T-Man.
I'm Team Shippers. T-Man.
Yep. Team, I'll take the, I'll take Team, Hela. I have to say, great to see the ship has finally come in, John. The kiss heard round Eternia has finally happened. We finally get to find out who really lifts He-Man's loincloth. The couple we've always waited for is finally official. Teela and He-Man are together. They're making out, and everyone in attendance couldn't be more enthralled and invested in the intimate private lives of these two people.
It's true. It was like, I mean, look, I'm happy to see everyone was also waiting for them to all hook up. Like, it wasn't like the only surprised one was, who was the only surprised one? I guess, Gwildor. That was it.
And it's just cause he's not in, like, he's not normally in the adventures. So he kind of just showed up. So we can forgive Gwildor for being a little out of the loop, but, it does cause a very funny joke where he is like, I think these two might have the hots for each other. Oh, Gwildor, you don't know.
You don't know nothing, Gwildor. You be stupid. You stupid,
exactly.
Gwildor. In the best way possible, of course. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like many people who are very smart at one thing, sometimes the social aspect of it is maybe not as maybe left by the wayside a little bit. But yeah. Now He-Man is going to now that the kissing is done, He-Man can give everyone their marching orders. Before that, Funny-Lin is going to do a little schoolyard mocking. Could not get out of there without the classic thing that I honestly haven't heard anyone say in 40 years.
Yeah, easily grade school. Like, easily grade school. I don't even think I've heard people say it in earnest during grade school. I think I've only ever heard it on TV shows while, you know what I mean? Or, like, mockingly saying it.
Yeah, maybe in the 80s it was said in earnest by children. But, the classic He-Man and Teela sitting in a tree... K-I-S-S-I-N-G, which is a perfectly normal response to sitting there watching, gawking at someone as they kiss.
Yep, gawking at two consenting adults who kiss and calling it out by, that old adage. But good old normal Lin, you know, just have to make something slightly, something touching slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, is this cheeky Lin? Is that what we're going to call her?
No, I like that. Yeah, that's cheeky Lin.
Yeah. Okay. So cheeky Lin she has to remind. Hey, remember we used to be mortal enemies. Now I'm kind of an anti-hero. Here's a little ribbon. Not a little ribbon. A little ribbing.
Gwildor was like, "Ribs."
Did somebody say ribs? This is way past my lunchtime. Yum, yum, yum. Teela's sick of everyone's crap, and so she is going to spout some very cool-looking techno wings, techno magic wings, and fly up into the sky. She's got to bring Preternia back. He-Man is going to take care of Skeletor, the classic combo. We wouldn't have it any other way. The Mans, both at arms and of war, are going to take care of the Horde. And Normal Lin, or Cheeky Lin in this instance, and Orko are going to protect Teela while she does her heaven creation business.
I mean, that's a pretty good split. I think that's this finally a solid plan.
Yeah, they've got the bases covered, and we got one little bit of time for Battle Cat to make a very funny joke about, hey, so you could have done this nicely the whole time. You could have sort of gently called down the power this whole time instead of like just us both jumping off of a balcony and hoping we get the power before we splat on the ground. Cool, thanks. I really love He-Man's little, we'll talk about it later, thanks.
No time. We got stuff to punch.
That's right.
You know, in a great way to do it. So yeah, I think there's a split plan. But what happens, who do we go to next? Do we jump over to Grayskull?
That's right. We're over at Castle Numbskull. Yeah, where Skeletor is busy pontificating. He has united magic and technology in a way that no one else has, but he's not content just to rule over all of these brainwashed people that he has infected with his nanoprobes. No. He, why not remake the populace in a fun body horror way? And so he chooses one unfortunate soul to begin his modifications on, and they just go full Borg. Tubules come out, the guy loses his face, becomes a Skelebot.
This is the third time we're getting somebody getting like the meat ripped off their face and getting a little rugged, to be honest.
Yeah, it goes by pretty quick, and I was thankful for that, but then out of the distance, a beam of light appears and hits this poor fellow, and it's reversed, and so we get to see the process. It's slower in reverse, and they go through the whole thing. They're like, yep, here's bones, here's the muscles coming back, and then here's the skin growing over that. So there, yeah, this series has not shied away from showing lots of layers of different viscera.
Yeah, We'll grow up plus up, I guess, in this instance. It was, I was just like, ugh. that's pretty, I should have expected it, but I was not expecting it, I think, for the whole series. But before we move, what do you think of Skeletor's glow up?
I think Skeletor is looking great. I honestly haven't looked up what the toy will look like, and I assume there will be one. But I am excited to see what they're going to do with these translucent arms and also his swirling belly. It looks like a perfect place to put like a holographic sticker.
Oh, that'd be cool. Kind of like the Visionaries used to have or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm for it. All right. Yeah, this has been the toughest because, you know, you all know my office is like just filled to the brim with toys and stuff. But I've been like dodging all Masters of the Universe toys just so I don't get any sense of spoilers for all of this. And now, like, yeah, I can't wait to finally deep dive to see what all the toys look like or see which ones they've announced so far. Because, like, I got to get me a Man of War. I need to get me this Skeletor, especially if they give him translucent, like, arms and stuff. That would be baller. I would love the shit out of it.
Truly, they gotta do something. I mean, like, it is like, especially if they do, like, if they do translucent arms with the bones inside.
Oh, done deal. I'll buy like three of them.
Part of me says that like the mold for that would probably be too complex, but man, do I hope that they do something like that, because it looks great on the cartoon. Either way, it looks really great on the cartoon, and he's got like a glowing eagle around his neck shape, the eagle shape, like everything looks really, really nice. And there's a lot of great, like the colorway and the whole outfit and how the blocking works is just I think it's just like a really successful upgrade. I think in general, with maybe very few exceptions, I think this show, and I think this season in particular, has done a great job of like all the costume changes and updates.
I'm with you.
Is no exception.
I'm with you.
Yep, looking really, really good. But as they square off in the sky above them, Teela begins the process of bringing Eternia, or pre-Eternia, I should say, back. And the clouds above her begin to take on the shapes of the three towers of Preternia. Skeletor declares himself Skeletor 2.0. So I guess maybe that's going to be the name of this toy.
I mean, but it's not, right? Like at this, well, I mean, this wouldn't this be like 3.0? Or are they starting 2.0 because he was already transformed and they're refusing to acknowledge most of what happened in Revelations?
Yeah, I don't know. That's confusing, right? Where is he counting from? 2.0 from what? I guess this is what he, maybe what he more accurately could have said is this is Skeletech 2.0. Mm. That would be accurate, I think, for me. But yeah, hard to say. Unclear. Because yeah, it is at least 3.0, if not more, if not like 5.0.
I mean, yeah, think of all the transformations that Skeletor has gone through with this series. This got to be like the sixth one at least. Like it's so many.
It's funny too because of how the speed at which all of this goes, and the fact that Skeletor is kind of out of the loop makes this his motivations kind of fun, because he reaches up with his power and directs, like takes over the Horde ships above him and commands them to attack Teela, but he has no idea what she is doing or why he wants to stop. He just wants to stop it because she's doing it. And so he's just like, whatever the hell she's doing up there, I guess I'll stop that too.
You know, I'm glad at least this Skeletor 10.0 was not in the know. You know, like, yeah. I like that. I'll take it.
But the ships kind of swivel their guns around and are about to attack Teela, but the cloud crusher reappears. Everyone's favorite toy from this season is there to block the shot, and so is Andra in her Hulkbuster armor. And then both mans join the battle at arms and of war. And we've got ourselves a real knockdown drag out up in the sky, including some really cool Captain Marvel antics by Man of War.
Yeah, yeah. I do really appreciate the flying through a ship to show how powerful you are and blowing it up motif as of late. And if anything, Man at Arms could probably learn something from Man of War and figure out how to make a super suit, because this super suit is the super suit of all super suits. Like, I mean, he's just, I love him flying through the ship, chopping at the Horde warriors, and then throwing bombs up on the side of the walls as well, just to blow up like this flag. I guess it was the flagship or something.
It certainly looks, it's the biggest one up there, and he makes short work of that thing. And it really comes crashing down in the background near Castle Grayskull, but not on Castle Grayskull. So it creates a great sort of framed moment with He-Man and Skeletor in the foreground and Castle Grayskull in the midground, and in the background this giant ship exploding. But crucially, none of the points of interest are irreparably damaged, except for maybe the valley that the gully or whatever that Castle Grayskull sits on will probably just be filled with Hordak ship for now until eternity.
You got a new haunted place to visit.
That's right. Yeah, it's a new cool ship graveyard to go check out, but. We in this moment, we get He-Man realizing that this new upgrade to his sword of power has a reaction to Skeletor's purple magic. It's sucking it up, and that's like recharging it. So now we have the ticking clock is that when Adam's or He-Man's sword is fully recharged, then we're going to see some serious shit.
Yeah, that tracks, because he hopped on top of Grayskull, found the keyhole at the very top, and switched Castle Grayskull back into classic mode versus don't you know mode.
There is a giant switch up there that just is like a toggle that goes back and forth. I didn't know. Who knew it was so simple?
I knew there was the lock for the power sword, but I did not realize there was also another lock at the top to shoot out the power waves from the sword that cured all the rest of the people who were there from the techno Borg virus.
Yes. Skeletor has a great quip that He-Man keeps breaking all of his new toys, so I guess he'll just have to play with all the old ones. And that's when he brings back those techno terrors from the, from earlier this season, the angels from Evangelion, as we've dubbed them, or based on a couple of them that show up, I think Skeletor might just be playing his best Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah. Though there's that one that looked like a Robe Beast from Voltron. So we're all over the place.
Absolutely. But they're, popping up all over the place. And we do get some cool secondary characters doing their thing. We get Queen Marlena in her fighter pilot garb, flying around, blasting off one of these a couple of these giant robots, which is cool. We get to see an unpossessed Buzz Off, Rio Blast, and Snout Spout doing their stuff. I guess Buzz Off flies around a robot really fast and kind of confuses it. Rio Blast is blasting, and Snout Spout is like sort of ineffectively spraying a robot with water. You made the very funny observation that it will probably rust at some point in the future.
That's what I figure. That's his old goal. You'll feel that in 10 to 15 years.
But this very Voltron-looking beast that you mentioned is one of the biggest and easily most dangerous, and it's heading right for Teela. Orko and Normal Lynn try to stop it, but it's clearly far too powerful even for them, breaking through all their shields. And it seems like it is about to chomp Teela when out of nowhere, a fully armored Granomir appears. Not Granomir the Monstrous, no, Granomir the Magnificent. And really tears into this techno monstrosity.
Yeah, it does, yeah. I mean, I was happy to see Granomir in his with his helmet, but also had the little gauntlets too. The rogue techno beast and Granomir fighting in the sky. That was pretty epic.
Yeah, tumbling through the air, smashing into Horde ships, and really looking cool. This techno beast does get a couple of unfortunate shots in on Granomir, and they tumble towards the earth, but not before Granomir lets loose a wave cannon of green flame.
Yeah, it was summoning like the last vestige of a car or something. It was like, let me spit some fire at you.
Yeah.
And that death blast. Yeah, that was pretty metal.
A final act of selfless sacrifice, and then he smashes to the ground in a very sad moment. We see Lynn transports down, and we talked about this when we saw it, but did they steal our joke?
I think they did.
Granomir's like, hey, you know what? You saved my soul. Guess what? That makes you good, Lynn. You're good, Lynn, now.
Bruh.
Yeah, so she went from evil Lynn to normal Lynn. now she's back to good Lynn. And what makes her good Lynn is this timing works out perfectly, because the distraction and the inspiration of this brave sacrifice is all the motivation Teela needs. And she finally does the last push and brings back Praetorna. Praetorna's back. And guess where Granomir's going? Right up to Praetorna.
Think about it. He wasn't even sure he's going to get there. Yeah. Even if it came back. But, you know, coming into that final battle, it was like, you know what? Let me get some of these Praetorna brownie points going. Let me stop this Robeast real quick, see if I can sneak myself up there. But good for Granomir.
Yeah, it turned out it was just enough. But all of this going on offers He-Man a momentary distraction, and Skeletor takes that opening and exploits it. He ties He-Man down with some T-1000 ropes, some liquid metal ropes around He-Man, and creates a giant scythe with his arms. This is it. He says the line. Everyone gets to say the line of this episode. He also says, hey, I've got the power to slice you in half with this giant blade. He is intercepted by a mysterious glowing blade. And who could be wielding it?
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you. It was Ghost Dad himself. Bill, I'm kidding.
Oh, King Jesus Randall. Christ. Yes, King Randor is back. Apparently could have helped him at any time, but has a fun crack about, hey, is this bully bothering you, son? And they do a father-son punch and really right in the mush of Skeletor. But it's not just him. He's brought back all of your ghost friends. That's right. Clamp Champ is back. Fisto is back. Mossman? Back to King Grayskull, you betcha. And he's brought along a giant dinosaur, too.
He brought his ghost dinosaur.
That's right.
It's like, I mean, you're going to roll deep. It was cool to see them all kind of pop out like this.
Do you think they were just hanging out, kind of waiting for something like this? Because they don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, what else were they going to do? Or maybe they were trapped on the other half where they weren't even wandering. They were stuck on, like, the other side of the veil or something. So they're definitely that weird limbo thing. So I'm pretty sure ghost punching things in the face and smashing stuff seems like it's the right call.
And it really is, because they make short work of all these giant metal monstrosities. And with them dispatched, Teela teleports her mom up into heaven. So the sorceress is up there as well, no longer bound for eternity to Castle Grayskull. And all of your friends from the Praetorna episode are back, including a couple of new additions, such as Granomir, but also Stonedar is up there.
Yeah, who knew that rock had a soul?
That's right. He's got juices that a leech can suck out and a soul. We learn something new every day. Be nice to rocks, people.
That's it. You never know, knocking that rock about, what it's doing to that rock.
That's right. Don't knock a rock. You heard it here first on Dear Skeletor. But King Randor is also about to ascend to his rightful place in Praetorna, but not if Skeletor has anything to do about it, to say about it, I should say. Zero, like, feelings about the fact that they are now brothers. Just acting as brothers do. Just jealous of what Randor is getting, and he is not. Although I guess Skeletor doesn't want to die, so maybe he shouldn't be so jealous. But he does make a all dogs go to heaven joke, which I thought was very funny. It was like, okay, this is, if there's any clearer indication of what age range this series is targeted towards, this has got to be it. Because I can't imagine people today, I can't imagine the Zoomers and the younger millennials are... have like a core memory link to All Dogs Go to Heaven.
No, I mean, I I couldn't even tell you a single thing that happened in that movie, and I've seen it at least once.
Yeah, I saw it too.
Yeah, there's definitely no, there's no, as about as finger on the pulse as Pop Saga usually is. So there you go.
Yes. Targeted directly towards our age range. I mean, it was definitely the Captain America meme. I'm like, I understood that reference.
Exactly.
But that's, I mean, it doesn't matter because Skeletor's already lost. He doesn't, but he just doesn't realize it. Because He-Man's just kind of had it up to here with his bull, and his sword's almost charged, so he's going to get in one last epic charge towards Skeletor, and it's really the only one he needs because he's able to run Skeletor right through.
I was not expecting that. I was expecting to give him a paddling or something.
Nope. No, yeah, just stabs him right through a very definitive way, but it doesn't kill him like you would expect. Instead, it saps all of the Havoc magic out of him, and in doing so, reverts him from Skeletor to Keldor, seemingly, at least for the time being, permanently.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a... That's a choice.
Yeah, certainly, like... Seems kind of like an upgrade. I don't know. I guess maybe Skeletor is like, you know, has owns his bone face and really likes it, but certainly it seemed like a kindness that Skeletor doesn't deserve.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Skeletor never really struck me, or at least this version of Skeletor never struck me as vain.
No.
Right. Like, I wish I had my face. You know, I think, like you said, he owned the fact that his face was just a skull. And the fact that, like, he's now got kind of a little bit of a glow up is a little, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
How I feel about that. Though I know how He-Man feels about it since he likes his uncles once removed.
Yeah, that was a very funny joke.
That's probably the best He-Man joke of the season.
As soon as Skeletor is sapped of all his power and the mind control that he has visited upon the Horde ships is free, the Horde ships just get the fuck out of there. They're like, bye-bye. They're kind of confused why they're there in the first place, it seems like. But they're like, they warp out right away. And with that, we cut back to the ruins of Eternos Palace. Maybe it's the next day. I can't really tell. Certainly the hue of the sky that heralded the invasion of the Horde is gone at the very least. And, He-Man is giving a speech and more or less what He-Man is telling everyone is that the monarchy is abolished and democracy reigns in Eternia. He's saying, hey, the palace is ruined. You get to govern yourselves now. It's not my problem. Bye.
That's a choice. It's a bold choice, He-Man.
Yep. And it definitely makes sense now that why they killed off King Randor, because if Randor is still alive, you have to imagine there would be a lot of questions like, what? Okay, why didn't you do this? Is this okay? Like, what's happening?
I mean, in theory, if Randor was alive, then we probably wouldn't. They probably wouldn't have switched from a monarchy to a democracy. They just were like, we'll rebuild the castle better than ever, or, you know, do something like that and just call it a day. But this change is a tonal shift, right? You gotta get Adam out of the palace. I feel like that makes a lot of sense. And now that there's no more lies between them, or, you know, understanding that, you know, Adam is He-Man and all that stuff, it's just better that he's able to just kind of roam around, I feel.
Yeah, and now without the royal baggage, he is free to kind of do adventures and leave the governing of Eternia up to Eternians. There, what follows is a real fun gag about where He-Man's gonna live, because of course he no longer has a house because the palace is destroyed and it won't be rebuilt, at least in the same form as it was. And so there's a fun gag about him living with Teela at her place, which is, of course, Castle Grayskull. the safest place in the universe, but not really. Not according to this series. Seemed pretty easy to get into as long as you have a bird that could shoot like a geometric shapes. You're getting right through that security system. But that's really just an excuse to set them up for their real cute line where Adam's like, the safest place in the universe has always been by your side. And Teela says, and it always will be. And then they exchange what I assume are He-Man vows, where they are like, they just say, by the power of Grayskull to each other.
Yeah, but I guess if you don't put a lot of emphasis in it, it doesn't turn you back.
Yeah, right. And I think he's like, I'm good this way. I don't think I'm going to be given the power back at any time.
I mean, honestly, that's the whole point, right? He-Man's able to give that power freely that he doesn't want to hold on to it. Or Adam gives it freely, doesn't want to hold on to it. And that sort of makes sense. But I'm like, nah, man, that's a glow up. I'm He-Man 24/7.
Yep.
I'm using the bathroom as He-Man.
Yeah, he doesn't need to pretend anymore, so he could just be He-Man all the time.
Exactly. Until he grows into his He-Man shape, I guess? I don't understand.
Yeah, he's going to have to really hit the creatine if he wants that. If he wants that kind of bod. But we get two sort of, they're not post-credit stingers, but they are sort of, because we get that the final title card and the final title treatment in a shimmering gold. Reminiscent of He-Man's new armor, but we get a couple of stingers. The first one being somewhere in outer space, we see Zodak, who is a member of the Cosmic Enforcers, and they welcome Good Lynn to their ranks. Give her a real funny looking helmet, and she's a space cop now, a Green Lantern of some sort.
Yeah, that's what I always remember them being. So, yeah, I guess she's a space cop now. Good Lynn is a space cop.
Yeah, an interesting development for her character. Very interested to see how that comes back and is expanded upon.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we get a final scene in the characteristic red glow of Horde Prime is where this is taking place, I assume, and a mysterious figure is talking about restoring Hordak and then getting revenge on He-Man. It's obvious. It seems like it is a woman, and I think that there's only one person I think it has to be.
Well, I've been trying to remember, and then I. Since we've seen the episode finally, I popped on the IMDb, and then once I saw the name, I was like, it is for sure She-Ra. It's just the evil version of She-Ra, which is Despara.
Despara. Yeah. So a little hint about what might come next. But then the credits roll, and that is it for this season. John, what did you think of this series as a whole?
Yeah, great. It was great. It was too, I felt like, too short, but maybe that was to its strength in terms of just like being really efficient with the story versus like Revelations, which I enjoyed, but definitely felt like it was a longer slog. This was just get into it. No preamble, no nothing. The action was great. The animation was top-notch through and through. Like, I don't really think there was an episode where I was just like, that wasn't the same animation house, so they got that on together. The transformation in this final one was holy shit. And just, we've talked about it before, but, like, just the vibrancy of the colors that they were used felt so much more, like, contrasty and poppy and stuff. I absolutely loved it. I literally can't wait to go, like, just rewatch it.
Yeah, I agree. I think with this final series, Kevin Smith's reboot and reimagining of Masters of the Universe has cemented itself as, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, the greatest piece of He-Man media that we have gotten recently and maybe of all time. Of course, it couldn't exist without the original, and it's hard to compare the two just because the different times and the different aims of those different cartoons. But I really love how this series was able to make the source material more grown up. It treated it with respect and it treated it seriously, but didn't lose sight of the inherent corniness that is intrinsic to the vibe and tonal feeling of the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and how it's always been. And so I think, yeah, I think when we started this, when we were looking at Revolutions, it took a little bit to get started and it took a little bit for me to get on board. But now that I'm looking back at the totality of what we've seen so far, I have to say it is just a very impressive achievement and one that I wholeheartedly recommend and really love a lot.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Very cool. So you might be thinking, will we get more? And I think the unfortunate news that we have for you right now is we don't know. There has not been a definitive no that we won't get more, but there also hasn't been any rumors or news that I can find of another season being in development. Kevin Smith has talked publicly about being excited to return, and I think there's more stuff to talk about. But we probably won't hear anything about if we'll be getting more until at least after mid-April at the earliest. But that is like complete speculation. There has been no official word, as far as I can tell from my research, about more, which I think is a shame. It's kind of due to the nature about how they produce these, but you could imagine all the cool directions they could take it in if they did another series. And I do hope that they do get the chance to do that.
For sure. I think it'd be a shame if we didn't continue this through at this point. Thoroughly enjoyed it, left it at a kind of cliffhanger, or is sort of a cliffhanger, like in terms of wanting to get more. Let's get this back. Like, I mean, I finally was able to kind of poke through the IMDb, and this definitely has, you know, some pretty favorable people's reviews in terms of like a star rating and stuff, a lot higher definitely than Revelations as well. So like, yeah, let's get some more of this on Wax. It's super enjoyable.
Yeah. And so I wish we had more concrete news to tell you right now, but if it does come back, so will Dear Skeletor. You have that promise for sure. One little last bit of He-Man and Masters of the Universe news, the long languishing film that has been passed around from studio to studio, most recently passed off by Netflix to MGM Amazon, has acquired a new creative team and it's said to be in the later stages of final talks with the director Travis Knight to helm the project. That is a project that has been in sort of a bit of a development hell for a very long time. So I'm not holding out too much hope, but it could be that we might be getting a new live action He-Man as well at some point in the future, which would be really cool. If you're wondering what Travis Knight might be known for,
I know I am.
He's not a director who's done a ton of stuff, but you might know him from the director of the Bumblebee film, and also the amazing animated film Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, okay.
He's been part of the animation department for Kubo and the Two Strings and Box Trolls and Paranorman. So the guy comes from an animation background, which could be exactly something that a He-Man live action movie could use. So, and the Bumblebee movie was a fairly well received entry into the Transformers universe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably, in terms of the live action movies, probably the best of the live action ones, and a very solid 6 minutes into the intro is probably like the best live action Transformers stuff I've seen personally.
So that could be exciting.
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, at this point, it's been bounced around so often, I will just wait until it's out. So, you know, like I'm seeing a trailer somewhere or something because I don't want to get my hopes up. I'll just have to stick with my yearly revisits of 1987s.
yeah, exactly. My fingers are not crossed. I am not holding my breath for this, but I am. But if it does happen, I'm excited to see what they do. Yeah, so that's it.
That's it. But before we say goodbye for this week, we'd like to thank Burton M6, as always, for our theme song. If you are interested in having him make a piece of music for you, check out the show notes for a link to his Fiverr page. But until next time, be kind to each other, because when it comes to making a world a better place for everyone, you have the power.
To all my people, if you're into He-Man, the Skeletor, the unofficial Revelations companion, it's more than a cartoon, I'm here to let you know. That's Masters right. of the Universe, Revelations, for sure. Hey. We breaking down the episodes, this is what you needin' before He-Man grab somebody and start eating. From Evil Lynn, Clamp Champ, Teela, and the Man of Arms, they have the power, so come and join the squad. Yeah, dear Skeletor, the unofficial Revelations companion, let's go.